Hey everyone, John Wertheim here. It's this week's Beyond the Baseline Sports Illustrated Tennis Podcast. We have some audio post-US Open with Stan Wawrinka that we're going to share next week. But this week we have a special guest. He is not a pro tennis player, but he is a pro athlete and a prominent one at that. Dirk Nowitzki is going to join us. Dirk is a big tennis fan, big tennis channel watcher. He is hosting a pro celebrity tennis event in Dallas at SMU this Sunday, September 18th. We will have links on the website for how you can buy tickets and learn more about it. Andy Roddick's going to be there. John Isner's going to be there. Benny Becker, German player. Mark Knowles, JJ Barea, and even Harrison Barnes, his new teammate. But Dirk spent some time with us. He just got done watching the U.S. Open, and this guy really knows his tennis. So without further ado, this is our second NBA guest this summer after Jason Collins was on a week ago. This is an active NBA player, though. Dirk Nowitzki, thanks for joining us. You're from a real tennis hotbed. These are good times for German tennis right now.
I know. I mean, we used to dominate with Steffi and Boris and Stick. Those were my times growing up watching them, but we're definitely doing well now. The boys could do a little better, but, you know, Zverev is hopefully on the rise for us.
And you have the number one ranked female player, which I don't think we've been able to say since the 90s.
I know. Unbelievable. She is definitely doing us proud. Just an unbelievable fighter. She is quick to every ball. I mean, she's been amazing. I think even she didn't dream of a career like that. I mean, a bunch of years ago, I think I just read recently an interview in Germany where she said she was close to retiring, and her mom talked to her and said, hey, why don't you give it one more shot? And then she committed to it 100%. And then the last couple of years were just unbelievable. I mean, just winning tournaments, winning big games. She's in better shape than she ever was. And it's been fun to watch for sure. So I'm really happy for her. And she definitely well-deserved. She's had an amazing year and just topped it off now with number one and winning the Open. So it's amazing.
I just telling someone, I said it's like Steve Nash, where she didn't necessarily come out of the gate with the strongest rookie season or sophomore season, but then they figured out what it took and became an MVP.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, I think she kind of recommitted herself there after things were not going too well. And like I said, she had that meeting with her mom, I guess. And then she kind of said, hey, I'm doing this 100% and I'm getting in the best shape I can get into. And then we'll go from there. And you know, it's been great ever since. So okay. I'm happy for her. She's worked very, very hard for it. And yeah, it's been fun to watch the last few years.
Where did your interest in tennis come from?
Well, you know, I've been a huge tennis guy. Tennis was actually the first sport that I started playing.
Right.
So I started playing tennis probably when I was 4 or 5. I mean, basically, that was the first thing I did because my parents played a little bit, sort of like for fun. And, you know, they socialized afterwards. You know, in Europe, you go to the club and you sit there all day, you play a little bit, then you drink with your friends or whatever. And the kids, we were just on the court the whole time, running around. So, I mean, every weekend we spent time on the tennis court. And so that's how I started playing. And been a huge fan. Played actually tried to be very professional about it till I was about 15. I mean, I played tournaments. I was traveling around. I was training a few times a week. And, you know, just I don't know where it would have gone, but I was going for it. And then it just, at 15, it was just too much. You know, I was playing basketball, I was playing handball, and I had to make a decision there, you know, where this is going. And I picked basketball because it was tall. I liked it a little better. And it ended up being a decent decision for me. But I always stayed close to the sport, always followed it. I've been in Wimbledon three or four times now. Just been always a fan, and there's numerous nights where I just sit around and the kids are in bed and I just watch Tennis Channel, some random tournament in freaking Singapore. I'm watching the first round. I mean, I love the game still, and I try to follow it as much as I can.
Favorite player right now?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I was, you know, obviously all the Germans I try to support and always pulling for them, and loved Federer, but he's obviously now getting the phase where he's getting a little bit hurt and stuff. But I mean, how effortless he plays, and I was fortunate enough to meet him a couple times. Met him in Wimbledon for the first time 1 year, then when I saw him in the Olympics a couple years later in 08 in Beijing. We talked a little bit, so you know, that's, I'm always pulling for him, the way he plays, the way he carries himself on and off the tennis court. I mean, I was always a fan of that. But I mean, there are so many great and fun players to watch. Loved watching the final the other day with Wawrinka and Nole. It's been on an incredible run the last few years, and I mean, it's tough. There are so many good players.
I saw from your brochure you hit the one-handed backhand too.
So here's my problem, right? So I played pretty good till I was about 15, a decent serve, good forehand, and I had a double-handed backhand. And then I was actually hitting it pretty well. That was actually when the ball came short and I was moving in with my double-hander. That was like a winning point for sure. And so then when I quit, I didn't play for a good almost 10 years, from like 15 to 25, I'd say. I followed the sport still, but, you know, I was doing the basketball thing completely serious and professional and training all the time. And then, so I got I didn't play for almost a good 10 years. And then once I got a little older, to my end 20s, I was like, man, this is such a fun sport. So I picked it up a little more. And the double-hander was completely gone. It's like, okay. It's like I've never played it before. It was
really?
So bizarre. So then I started just one hand slicing it a bit just to stay in the point until the ball comes back to my forehand. And then the last 2 years I worked on it a little bit, so now I can actually topspin one hand backhand a little bit, but it's definitely not my strength. Like a good player would just serve to my backhand, the little kick thing, and then I'm already in trouble. But as long as I can get around to my forehand, I should be all right.
I'm thinking all you, Tommy Haas and Cole Schreiber and of course, you know, Becker. I mean, we've got a nice track record of Germans hitting the one-hander, though.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Tommy had a beautiful one-hander. I mean,
He hasn't retired. Present tense.
Yes. I mean, he still has. We'll see. But I already saw he's a tournament director now of Indian Wells, great for him and happy for him. I met him actually. You know, Tommy and I are the same age, so we actually, I saw him way back in Bavaria when he was playing there, when we were like 12 or 13, and then he obviously went to Bollettieri, left pretty early, and then the rest is history. But, I mean, his game was always so fun to watch, hits it so clean, backhand is awesome. And it's unfortunate that he had so many injuries in his career. I mean, he obviously could have had an even better career if he would have stayed healthy and if the shoulder would have held up. I mean, he's a beast.
So you have your inaugural tennis event is coming up next week.
Yeah.
I saw Roddick's playing and Ben Stiller. Yeah. That's a good those are good headliners. But Boris Kodjoe is a good player too.
Yeah, so I'm actually really fired up. You know, I've done a lot of charity things in my career. I've played baseball even. This summer I had a soccer game in Germany, and all those things are fun, but obviously I'm not any good at it. I mean, I didn't grow up playing baseball at all, so I'm so bad at it. But actually this one is something I'm decent at, so I'm looking forward to having some fun, and had some great support now from some of these guys, and Isner's coming, and you know, Ben Stiller, because I knew he's a big tennis fan. I always see him at the U.S. Open when I watch TV. So we kind of hit him up there, and he said, "Yeah, I'd love to do it." And obviously, I've watched Andy Roddick for a long, long time. So really, really excited for the event. And you know, this is hopefully something that will be fun for everybody involved. And so this is actually our first year doing it. So this Sunday at SMU here in Dallas, they got a beautiful new tennis facility, inside and outside. So I'm fired up and can't wait to get going.
It's great. Well, I was thinking I've seen NBA players have event, you know, golf tournaments and even a paintball tournament. I think this is the first tennis event. I love this.
Yeah, we're excited too. You know, I always wanted to do another thing with my charity here. and with my foundation, and that happened to be now that's something that we wanted to do. And we thought about it, doing it for the last couple of years, but you know how it is. You're always busy in the summer and you're working out. Next thing you know, the summer is already over. But this year we planned it in. We hit some of these guys up early. And so we're excited to get this going. Unfortunately, the weather is not supposed to be great Saturday and Sunday, but we'll see. Maybe it'll hold up a little bit.
You need a U.S. Open roof. We're gonna post all the links to the event and to your charity. I also saw someone said you got Harrison Barnes too. So that's a good way to break in the new teammate.
You know, Harrison Barnes, I asked him, I said, how can you play? I mean, you went to North Carolina. I'm sure there are some guys playing some tennis. And he's like, yeah, I've actually played. So I recruited him in, and he said he can hold the ball decent. He said he's not great. And he's actually a little nervous. So this week we might actually get to hit a little bit before the big debut on Sunday. And then actually J.J. Barea is playing, who's a really good
player, right?
Tennis player. His mom used to be a tennis coach growing up in Puerto Rico. And so we hit a lot of times already. And he actually beat me one time in a set, which I was not happy about. But he's a decent little player, you know, running around and decent little backhand and forehand. So he should be able to hold his own this weekend.
You got to stroke the egos of these little guards. Who's your top five? Who's five best tennis players in the NBA?
You know, what's actually funny, I'm not sure you guys remember it. I used to play with a guy named Chris Anstey.
That was way back
when I first got here. He was an Australian guy. Yeah. And, you know, I was at the time I was whatever, 19 or 20. I thought, you know, I can play. So this guy stands there and says, yeah, he's grown up in Australia. You know, I played with Mark Philippoussis and I was number one in Australia. And I was like, what is this guy talking about? Like, I'm going to murder him, right? So then one day at our old coach Nelly's house, he had two rackets. So Anstey is like, why don't you just come out and we'll go play a little bit. This guy beat me 6-0. I didn't even see the ball. I mean, he was amazing. So that's probably the best basketball tennis player I've ever seen. I mean, he was incredible. I mean, the ball was—he was hitting it so hard and fast. It was unbelievable. Since he's out of the league now, I'm not sure. Actually, I invited like Gordon Hayward.
Yeah,
I saw on NBA TV that he was playing tennis in some interviews. So I invited him. Unfortunately, he couldn't come. And I heard David Lee is a really good player. I know that from Brad Gilbert, who they're actually friends, and they used to play there in the Bay Area a little bit at Brad's court. I think Brad's got a clay court at home, and I think David used to go over there and they played a little bit. He's a decent lefty, I heard, and you know, David was here last year. We had him for the last few months, but we didn't get to hit. Other than that, I'm not. We have Monte Ellis here. He always said he was number. He was ranked almost number one in Mississippi in high school. But I'm not sure. I've never seen him play. I can't say if that's true or not. But there's a few guys. You know, it's fun. You can play until you're old. It's good for the footwork. So I think even in the summer, it's a nice little practice.
You know, former number one draft pick, who was an All-American in tennis, John Lucas.
Yes, I know that. Actually, his son is supposed to be actually pretty good too. John Lucas,
he used to be third. John used to be Roddick.
They couldn't pull it off this weekend, but we wanted him to come as well. And I did hear about that. I did hear that the dad was really, really good, and unfortunately didn't work out.
When you play tennis, is this strictly enjoyment, or do you learn things about yourself that you can translate to basketball?
Well, now it's more enjoyment. I think back in the days, there was a lot more movement, and you know, I even took some lessons, like 10 years ago or something in the summer, where I was bored of going to the gym, and then I'd just play tennis for 2 hours, where a guy was actually feeding me the ball right and left, and I could run, do some cardio at the same time, work on some footwork, but now it's just more for fun, you know. As I'm older now, I'm just standing there. I'm trying to use my serve as a heavy weapon, so the point is as short as it gets. Obviously, as I'm older and 7 feet, movement is not really a big part of my game anymore. So I'm I would love to keep the point as short as possible. So that's my strategy on Sunday as well.
You do that at 7 foot. You can bring it on the serve. If it's four all, deuce, guy hits a medium range lob, you hitting that overhead in the court, or are you like me and it's hitting the back fence?
I'm a big overhead guy, so obviously every tall guy has a good angle on overheads, and I would take that. Now if I'm in a game where I missed a couple earlier, you kind of got a feel for it. Today might not be my day, then I might let it bounce and see what's developing. But usually when I was younger, I try to take everything overhead as much as I could.
You were okay at closing matches though, or did you get a little choky?
You know, closing matches, you always start thinking, you know, as it's, you know, tennis just as much as basketball, it's a lot of mental sport. You know, how many things go through your head as the game gets closer and towards the end and crunch time, as we say in basketball, and you know, the stuff that goes through your mind. Or even, let's say there's a penalty shootout in soccer and you have to walk all the way up from midfield to the penalty spot to take that last penalty. I mean, the stuff that goes through your head in sports is incredible, but you just try, you know, you try to focus. I mean, it sounds dumb, but you focus on the next shot, on the next action in basketball, for example, in tennis. You focus on the next point and just try not to, you know, let your brain get wrapped up in other things and other thoughts. You want to stay in the moment. You want to fight for the next point until it's over, until the buzzer sounds and hoops, and hopefully it's enough to win the game.
We were talking about Tommy Haas. I think he's 1978 too. I think he's like exactly the same age as you.
Yeah, but that's what I meant. Yeah, I knew. I think he played in a Bavarian championship before one time where I was at. So I've known him since since I'm like 13. So yeah, we're exactly the same age. And I actually invited him as well, but I think he's busy this weekend. So that's unfortunate. Right. But I would have loved to see him again. I saw him a couple years ago here last when, you know, they added on the tournament this little tournament Las Colinas out here where guys lose early in Indian Wells.
Oh,
roll
right.
through
then
here
they
and then
by.
They go to,
yeah,
down
exactly.
to Miami.
Right.
So he, one year he came through here and played, and he actually made the final, and then he had to pull out because his shoulder was hurting. But I was able to see him and watch him play, and I saw Alex Zverev play there, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. So it's a neat little tournament for us because, you know, I can go out there. I'm out there in like 20 minutes, and some decent players show up there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Cilic played a couple years ago. So it's a fun little tournament, and for me to catch up with some of my tennis guys. You know, I'm close to Benny Becker. I'm close to Pechner, who's got some injury problems now. But those are my boys, and those are the older guys that I'm close to.
You know why Becker lost at the U.S. Open?
Losing.
Exactly.
But, you know, Steiny's my guy. I've known Steiny since I got here. Steiny was the beat writer for the Dallas Morning News when I first got here in 98, 99. So that's when I met him first. And obviously he loved tennis. He loved soccer. So we had things in common. And now, you know, we basically go way, way back. And coaching, I wasn't quite sure what Benny Becker was thinking there.
Exactly.
But, you know, tough draw to get Nishikori, who's been playing great and also played great in the U.S. Open. So that's a tough draw in the first round. But, you know, him and then Dudi Sela is his boy
that he
follows around for years, and he had a tough out in the first round. So Steiny was heartbroken after that.
But these guys in tennis that are playing, I mean, Tommy's, I don't know if he's going to make a comeback, but he's not retired. And, Federer's 35 and Serena's almost 35. You know, and I think in the NBA too, you know, guys like yourself are playing into their late 30s. And in tennis, it becomes, for those guys, it's all about the majors.
Yeah.
When you get to your late 30s in the NBA, is it all about a title, or can you just sort of enjoy the competition and enjoy the camaraderie of the locker room? Is it, I mean, what's sort of the motivation at this point in the game?
I still love to compete, you know, showing these young guys, you know, some of these guys are like 18, 19. They could be my sons, but it's still fun to go up and show and hopefully win with the team or help the team win. I still love that part of the competing and the winning that drives me. And but you also enjoy over the years the camaraderies, the bus rides, because just eventually that all be gone. And I think that's something I'm going to miss every day: the locker room, the talking trash every day, the practices, and that's something I'm definitely going to miss. So it's a little bit of everything that still drives me, and showing the young guys you can still do it, and it's still fun to compete. I think that's number one.
All right, let me ask you 5 speed round questions. Someone said we have to do speed round here.
So okay.
What's the most German thing about you these days?
Oh man, my work ethic. I'm not sure.
That's good. Well, what do you wish someone had told you at the beginning about being an NBA player?
I don't know. Maybe listen and learn from the veterans that are around you. Sometimes I think you think you know some stuff and you figure them out, but yeah, there are so many great veterans you could still watch and learn. And I wish I would have taken a little more stuff from the older guys when I was young.
Most important rule you live by?
Important rule? I don't know. I'll try to be a good husband, good dad, and enjoy life.
You go out like Kobe or go out like Duncan?
I love the way Kobe went out. I mean, who doesn't go out with a 60-point game? I mean, that's so Kobe like, and right. the whole arena was standing up the whole fourth quarter. So much fun to watch. But I'm more like a Duncan guy, I think. I'm more a quiet guy. I don't need the limelight as much. I don't thrive in it as much. So, maybe not quite the just email, hey, by the way, Tim Duncan is retiring. I think that was a little low profile. Maybe there's somewhere a medium, where I don't have to announce it, but maybe there's a little press conference or something. I don't know. I don't really want to think about it because I know it's going to come up soon anyway. So I'm just going to enjoy the last couple of years. And when it comes, it comes. But I'm hoping there'll be a happy medium I can take.
So I want to ask you about coaching, because I know Holger's obviously still been so important to you for this whole ride. Does that make you think about coaching?
I will never be a team coach. I already found that out. It's not my thing. The motivating guys, the different plays, defensive systems on both sides of the ball. It's just that doesn't interest me much. But what Holger did with me, I think I could do that. Something individual based development, teaching younger guys how to shoot and how to move and how to the footwork works. And I think that's something that would interest me. But I think once it's done, I don't know, I did like 19, 20 years in the NBA, however long it's going to ride it out here. And I'm going to think I'm going to need a little break. I'm going to need to get away from the sport. I'm going to need to travel a little bit with my family, enjoy the kids. And then maybe after that, a few years, then we can see what I can do. I'll definitely stay around the sport because, it's given me so much over my career. So I definitely want to stay involved somehow, but where and when and all that is open, but I'm gonna need a little break once I'm all said and done.
You've got to get to the Australian Open. Put that on your list.
When we lost in my MVP year in 2007, I was obviously, we lost in the first round. I was embarrassed. I was like, let me go somewhere where nobody knows me. So I did 6 weeks Australia, like sort of backpacking.
Oh, nice.
Went to the outback. Australia is one of my favorite countries. And I had a blast. So I always said, bucket list thing is Australian Open. So as soon as my career is over, we're probably going to do the Australian Open. My wife's a huge tennis fan as well. She's played in Sweden growing up all her life. So we actually hit in the summer all the time, and she's actually really good. We're for sure going to do the Aussie Open. I can't wait for that.
You won't be. Larry Fitzgerald went last year. Phil Jackson's gone, and they're completely unrecognized. So you can not only can you go, but you can go and not worry about selfies and autographs.
It was awesome for me back then too, and because I just had won the NBA MVP, regular season MVP, and I'm moving through Sydney like I'm nobody, like I'm just some tall German. It was great. And then when you get to some touristy spots, obviously, then you got recognized a little bit. But that was a nice little getaway for me. And Aussie Open, I was always a huge fan, so I want to go for sure.
All right, finally, I got to tell you the story real quick. One of the first stories I ever had to do for Sports Illustrated. Oh, go to Dallas, there's this rookie. You got to see this kid play. It's unbelievable.
You know, it's funny. Actually, somebody printed it out this morning for me. My guy, guy that works for the Mavericks, he printed it out for me, and he gave it to me, but I haven't had the chance to read it all, but it was some funny memories in there.
It was you. It was Nash. Nash was... Yeah. You know, Nelly was in a pissed off mood. It was right before Y2K. I think the very first question I said to you, I said in German, should we call each other Du or Z? That one didn't quite work. And
No, it didn't. You know, back then I was a little different with the media. I was always worried about saying the wrong thing. Obviously, there was a little language barrier. So if I was a little standoffish 20 years ago, it's not because I didn't like you. It was more I was a little worried with the media, and I wasn't really myself. But now I'm way more relaxed, and I'm trying to enjoy interviews and have fun. But back then, I was probably a little stiff. I'm sorry about that.
I called your mother.
Yeah, actually, I saw a quote in there. It was like half German, half English.
Yeah, exactly. So
funny.
Tell your mother about 17 years later. Vielen Dank. She bailed me out.
I will do.
All right. The event is this Sunday. Sunday, the 18th.
This Sunday, yep.
Go easy on Roddick. And
I will. He already said he's a little older, so it's doubles. It should be a blast for everybody involved. And we might do a little challenge at the end. You know, who can return a Roddick or Isner serve? They get some presents or something. So hopefully the whole thing is going to be fun. Hopefully the weather's going to hold up, and we're fired up.
This beats the hell out of a paintball benefit. I'm glad you're doing this.
For sure.
This was fun. We got to talk tennis more often. The NBA can wait. This is better.
Anytime.
All right, that's this week's podcast. Thanks to Dirk Nowitzki. Man, what a nice guy. What a serious tennis fan, too. I think there's a Tennis Channel job as an analyst in his future when he's done with basketball. Still has good years left in him, though. Man, that jump shot. All right, that does it for this week's podcast. That was a lot of fun. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, Dirk's Pro Celebrity Classic is going on in Dallas on Sunday this weekend. We will have links on the site for where you can buy tickets and make contributions if you're so inclined. Again, Andy Roddick, John Isner, Ben Stiller are among the guests that are going to be there. That'll do it for this week. We'll be back next week. Again, we've got some audio from Stan Wawrinka post his US Open triumph, so we will probably roll that in. And we may just have another guest named Martina N, if that gives away. That's too obvious. We'll call her M. Navratilova, just to make things a little cloudier. But we hope to have a guest next week as well, in addition to Stan Wawrinka. Thanks again for listening. Enjoy the week. We'll be back in 7 days. I'm John Wertheim. Jamie Lasanti is out getting a well-deserved vacation. Alex Abnos is our producer this week. We thank him for his time. Have a good week, everyone. Talk to you in 7 days.